All right. Paul White joins us. Paul is, of course, one of our great analysts of baseball. He's a national baseball writer, of course, from USA Today Baseball Weekly. And we've had Paul on so many times during the year as we follow this, the trail of baseball. And Paul is in the Bay Area. Paul, nice to have you with us today.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you're a lot closer than normal.
Yeah, a little bit. I was out there yesterday, and gorgeous day at the park, and it's a typical San Francisco September day.
Well, I'll tell you something. A couple of things. One, of course, Paul, your longtime association with baseball through the media, and Bruce Bochy is the spotlight today. At the end of a 2019 season, the Dodgers have a lot to look forward to as they move forward. But your thoughts about Bruce Bochy and his spot in the pantheon of baseball managers?
As everybody knows, only 10 guys have more wins. Those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The three World Series, I think, the three World Series victories, in addition to an unlikely fourth World Series, the one with the Padres, just getting there, I think he's a lock for the Hall of Fame, and because of who he is. Remember, this isn't going to be the writers voting. It's going to be the Veterans Committee. It's going to be people who've been around the game for their entire lives and know what it means. And the respect that he has, I think, is going to easily put him over the top and into Cooperstown. And, you know, it's funny. I covered all four of those World Series. And the one in San Diego, he was almost like a giddy kid because, oh, my God, we got here with this team. This is amazing, even though a Yankees powerhouse crushed them. And then to the veteran guy that won three times here in San Francisco, with, you know, sort of the very quiet, the professor who just knew what he was doing and guided those guys through it, and they trusted him. But my favorite Bochy memory is actually the 2001 World Series, which had nothing to do with the Yankees and the Diamondbacks, because I remember coming out of the clubhouse pregame of one of the games in Arizona up onto the concourse before the game, and there was Bruce Bochy and Kevin Towers, his longtime buddy and GM with the Padres, walking around the concourse in Tommy Bahama shirts, khaki pants, big adult beverages in their hand, just laughing like you and I would be at the ball game because, hey, we're at the ball game. This is really cool. And how many other managers and GMs would you see doing that? It was like a fan like the rest of us, except that he just had better seats most of the time and just knew a lot more than we did.
Talking to Paul White. Paul, it's a great story and sort of an insight into who Bruce Bochy is just as a guy. And I think that impact, and I think this is what people are talking about when they say that this type of manager won't be around anymore. And I don't totally agree with it, but it's the player's manager. It's a guy who isn't just by the numbers, but can look into a player's eyes and say, this is the right moment for this guy. Do you think those guys still exist? And is there a place for those guys in baseball? I think it's important.
Oh, yeah, there is. And I think what we're going to see is a change in how teams change managers. You know, it used to be you'd go from the quiet, relaxed, you know, sort of player's manager, and then when your team didn't do well and you thought they underachieved, you'd fire him and you'd hire the fiery, kick-butt kind of guy, and we're going to take names and we'll get our guys all fired up. We'd go back and forth. I think what you're going to find now is teams are going to end up going back and forth. Okay, we're going to hire the analytical guy who'll do whatever the GM says, and he'll do everything by the numbers, and oh, we underachieved. We better get a guy in there who's a player's manager and knows how to cajole and maneuver guys through the long season. I think we're going to see a back and forth in those two styles of managers on teams for a long, long time. I think it's going to be very interesting. There's some jobs around the majors. You know, if the Cubs job is coming open, well, there goes Joe Maddon, who's the player's guy in analytical. What do they switch to? Are they going to go for somebody who's going to kick butt? You know, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch how teams do that now.
Yeah, I think the kick butt days are over.
I do too. You end one
era and all of a sudden Jim Fregosi is in, to kick people around. And I say that metaphorically, but they brought him in, the Billy Martin, Billy Martin stuff.
Well, we saw the change really in this generation. Terry Collins used to be
that guy.
In his first time, you know, when the Angels and the Astros, he lost jobs because he was that guy. And then with the Mets, he came back and he had to recreate himself as the opposite of that just to succeed.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll continue to see that level of, you know, guy. The game is more sensitive now. I think that they read into the numbers more than they do into the heart of a player, that he just needs to be inspired. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And you know, I think the other thing that teams, if you're going to have those analytical managers and guys that are really there because of how they can maneuver through games by the book, then you better make sure in your clubhouse you've got one or two of those glue veteran guys who demand accountability. You know, we may see more and more teams that have a bench player or two who fill that piece of the role, to be the presence in the clubhouse if the manager isn't that guy. And it's going to be interesting to see if front offices understand the necessity to have those kind of makeup guys in their clubhouse.
When we're looking at the playoff picture right now, which manager who's headed to the postseason this year in either league is that guy that you think maybe this team needs a little inspiration? It's funny you mentioned the rah-rah guy off the bench. Remember, Jason Hayward gave that big speech, right, to the team.
Yeah.
We saw it with Hunter Pence here. I imagine Mark Canha is kind of that guy for the Oakland A's right now. Who is a player or a manager in the postseason this year is going to fill that role?
Well, I think there's a couple interesting possibilities. The A's are kind of interesting because, you know, Bob Melvin doesn't really have that personality. He's got tons of respect, but you're right. You look for that player in the clubhouse. I think an interesting team is the Yankees, because you always think of the corporate Yankees and the guys making tons of money, but I think Aaron Boone has done a lot of that with the Yankees this year. He's so close to being a player, having been a player, he gets a tremendous amount of respect from his players. And I think Minnesota's an interesting one. Rocco Baldelli, as a rookie manager, has done a great job, but Nelson Cruz has taken on a role there with a lot of other guys that, you know, I think a lot of people around baseball go, who are these guys? Well, I've heard of Nelson Cruz, and he's taken that role in their clubhouse. And I think that's a team that gets ignored. But you talk about surprise teams, I mean, that's a great story, and Cruz has been a big part of that.
Paul White with us, of course, doing a great job analyzing the big picture of baseball. Boy, the Brewers last night, I don't know if folks follow this, if you saw it, but the Cardinals lost, and the Brewers were one out away from tying the Cardinals for the lead in the National League Central. Dave Fleming and I talked about this yesterday in the talkback with Josh Hader, and they brought in Josh Hader. He got two quick outs, and uh-oh. Opposite field home run tied it up, and they lost the game. And now today, and Paul, you could set this one up for us if you want. The Brewers and Rockies and the Cardinals with Jack Flaherty today just need a win today to win the Central, and they don't need any help from the Brewers.
Right, but if they don't, all of a sudden that changes everything, because then you have a play-in game to win the Central, which will have a huge effect on whoever goes to the wild card game in Washington the next day. And and especially for a team like Milwaukee, their starting pitching is stretched thin enough. They've been doing this with mirrors since last year. Craig Counsell does a great job of maneuvering all those guys, but just to keep winning games, the amount of guys he has to use and used correctly is dangerous, because you already have Hader. You know, they've been trying to be ultra careful with him down the stretch, because they are afraid of the wear and tear they put on him really over the last two seasons, including last year's playoffs. And you saw a piece of it there yesterday. Did that ball leave Coors Field, of all places, because Josh Hader's tired? Who knows? But you've got to be scared of that and add an extra game maybe for them. And, you know, going into a wild card game, it's really dangerous. So, yeah, you know, in a weird way, Milwaukee might almost be better off if they don't tie the Cardinals. I know that puts you in a wild card game probably against Max Scherzer, which is pretty scary. But the alternative is a lot of wear and tear on a staff that can't take it.
I don't know that it's better that they don't win catch the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe better that they if they catch the Cardinals, then they have to win that play-in game, because you're right. You got to go to a five-game series, and it's not as big of a stretch as to turn around and have to throw the guy you would plan to throw in the wild card game now in a winner take all the division series game, right? I mean, I think it's
right.
Jordan Lyles would be their guy, right? If they go wild card game,
it would have to be.
It would have to be. So, this last day of the season is a funny one this year, because there's not a lot of nothing really up for grabs besides that one, right? I mean, there's
everything else is settled.
Everything else is settled. So is there sort of an anticlimactic feeling here in the final day of the season?
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, I like what baseball's done the last few years with this uniform starting time.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because if teams are in the race and you want everybody playing at the same time and scoreboard watching and not, you know, not starting your game with already knowing the result of your opponent, the team you're battling for a spot with. I like that, but you're right. There's been very few games over the couple years they've done this that mean anything in these last days of the season. We had the one last year, same situation with the National League Central getting sorted out. But other than that, it's like, yeah, who cares what time they're playing? But I think you got to do it because every year is different. And you know, one of those years you're going to have a night like, remember the one a few years ago, and it was a midweek where you know, Tampa Bay pulled out the game at the last minute in Atlanta, and then there was a million things. One of the greatest nights of baseball history.
I think that's why they added the last day of the season, right. and the one game playoff. They want to recreate that magic. The 162 landing.
It's just luck of the draw. I mean, the odds that, you know, after 162 games that things come down to one game, the odds aren't that good when you get to be honest about it. Yeah. But you got to go for it.
Boy, great having you on, Paul. We appreciate your comments all year long, and it's a pleasure. You and I go back, I think we figured it out, to 2002?
Yeah, I think so. You figured out it was Carlos Pena's rookie year with the A's.
Yeah, really, and I work on a one-year contract. I'm Walter Alston. I'm 1 year, year to year. That's my deal.
And I was a seventh grader going to...
So have you got more years than Walter now? Or?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty close to Walter Alston in years, but I'm a one-year guy, year to year, and that's it.
Awesome.
So you've been a big part of it in making it successful. So I appreciate it. World Series winner this year, who do you got?
I'm going to take Washington over Houston.
Wow, so the hometown, you're a hometowner. All right.
He had that holstered. He was ready for that prediction.
Yeah, very good.
I know, Marty. I knew it was coming.
All right, very good.
Paul, all right, Paul.
Thank you so much. The best to Lisa and your son at Penn State, and have a good offseason.
All right, thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Paul White.
Paul White, always good stuff,
isn't
man.
He?
He's good because you just whip around baseball with him. He's got good perspective on the big picture. He's fun to talk ball with.